Now the birth of Jesus Christ happened this way, while his mother Mary was spirit. Okay? Think about the plan that Joseph had for his life, right? I'm sure he was planning a good life, wouldn't we all? But he probably thought he would have a simple life, okay? The odds of you having a non-simple life are pretty slim, so we all kind of prepare for that simple life. His thoughts were maybe he would build up his carpentry business, marry, have lots of children, follow the Lord, strive to be a good and righteous man. This was a simple life, right? Joseph had planned for the simple life. But you know what? God had other plans. Many times God has other plans, church. Joseph could have never imagined the mission that God had planned for his life, right? 10 years ago, I never would imagine standing up here and doing this. That was not on my radar one bit. Joseph easily could have thought this. He could have thought, me, the stepfather of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the promised Messiah, my life story in God's word? No way, right? I sure would have thought that. Again, church, Joseph thought he would have a simple life. And again, God had a different plan. And in today's scripture, Joseph got to the point where he was open to God's plan, right? He was open to it. Joseph fully embraced God's plan, even though it took him to difficult places in life. And that's what God wants us to do, church. God's plan isn't going to be the easy plan. It's going to challenge us. It's going to stretch us, right? God has a plan for our lives that is far greater than we can even imagine. His plan for your life stretches out for millions of years into all eternity, right? And we can't begin to see it all, but you know what he wants us to do? He wants us to start looking in that direction, okay? We can't see what heaven's actually going to look like for eternity, but we can start looking in that direction. So often in life, we are looking at this thing we've got to do, or this thing that we need, or this thing that we want, or this thing that we enjoy, right? But God, church, listen, but God wants us to look beyond the earthly things of life and see the eternal things, church. We're called to so much more. That's why in Jeremiah 33:3, the Lord says, "Call on me in prayer and I will answer you. I will show you great and mysterious things that you still do not know about." And in Ephesians 3:20, Paul tells Christians that God is able to do far beyond that we ask or think. God has more in store for us, for our lives, than we can possibly imagine. And we need to keep pursuing his plan for our lives, church, even when we find ourselves in a crisis, okay? So, this leads us to the next one. We also need to keep growing in God's goodness, okay? We need to keep growing in God's goodness. You know what? Joseph is a great example of this for us today, okay? What a good and godly man he was, church. And we see this truth in verse 18 through 20. So let's look at that. We're going to read, starting in 18 again. It says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ happened this way. While his mother Mary was engaged to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, to be, was a righteous man, and because he did not want to disgrace her, he intended to divorce her privately. When he had contemplated this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, because the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit.'" Notice that Joseph was morally pure, church. That's why he was so concerned when he found out that Mary was going to have a baby, right? But Jesus was born through a miracle through the Holy Spirit, correct? So it makes Joseph and Mary both morally pure, okay? They both kept God's standards. They both were morally pure. Many people today have been deceived into thinking that this is not important, the whole being morally pure, and that's wrong. Because you know what? Anything that's important to God should be important to us. So, Joseph was morally pure. But also notice in verse 19 that it said that he was a righteous man. Okay? Of course, Joseph wasn't perfect. But he was a righteous man, it still says. That means he was strongly devoted to God's word and to God's ways, church. That's the way God wants us to be. Okay? None of us are perfect. But I would love to be called a righteous man for God's kingdom. Joseph was a righteous man, and he was a compassionate man. Joseph overflowed with godly, Christ-like compassion. That's why in verse 19, Joseph didn't want to put Mary through public shame and punishment, because that's what would happen if he went public with it. Instead, he wanted to end the marriage privately. Again, Joseph was righteous, but he wasn't self-righteous. He had a heart like the Savior's heart, merciful, compassionate, and kind. It helps us to think how difficult this situation was for Joseph, right? He didn't know who the father was. But he knew it wasn't him, right? He didn't know who it was. It just wasn't him. And terrible things would have happened to Mary if Joseph had put her away publicly. So he didn't want to make a public spectacle of Mary. He was merciful, compassionate, and kind. And that's the way God wants us to be, church. Joseph was a compassionate man, and he was a patient man, right? Verse 20 tells us that he contemplated on these things, okay? Joseph could have flown into rage, but he didn't act in anger or haste. He was thoughtful. He took the time to think things through, church. In all these ways, Joseph was a good and godly man. And God wants us to be like him, especially in times of crisis, church. We must be growing in God's goodness. Next, we must trust God to guide us, right? We must trust God to guide us. And thank God we can trust God to guide us. Amen? We can trust him in every situation. Joseph found this out starting in verse 20. Let's read that together. Verse 20 says, "When he had contemplated this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, because the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. God spoke to Joseph through a dream. You know what? Joseph listened. He didn't brush it off or rebel against the guidance of God. You know what? Sometimes God does speak through us, through dreams. We see it in the Old Testament, and we see it in the New Testament, church. For example, in Matthew 2, when the wise man went to see Jesus, God warned them in a dream not to go back to King Herod in Jerusalem, right? Now, of course, most of our dreams should not be taken as guidance from God. I don't want you to, like, do anything crazy. In fact, the dream that you had last night is probably not the Lord speaking to you. It's probably actually a combination of something you watched on TV or something from your childhood, which happens to me all the time. Actually, recently, anything I watch before I go to bed, I have a dream about, and it's real wacky and crazy. But don't go out and do something crazy, Marge, okay? Okay? But some of us have had God speak to us in dreams, and praise God, that's amazing. But for the most part, God speaks to us through His Word, church. His perfect Word. And you may never get a dream from the Lord, but you know what? We can always look to His Word and find just the message we need to hear. Today's scripture reminds us that we can always trust God to keep His Word. In verse 22 through 23, Matthew summed up this miraculous story by saying, "This all happened so that what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet would be fulfilled. Look, the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will name him Emmanuel, which means God with us." You know what? Over 700 years had gone by since God made this prophecy in Isaiah 7. Church, I get impatient when it's been more than a day and I ask God for something, let alone 700 years. That's what the people of Israel, that's their situation, right? But you know what? God kept His Word, and He always will. The question is, will we listen to God? Will we listen like Joseph listened? God wants to guide us, okay? Especially through His Word. So keep trusting God to guide you, especially in times of crisis, church. Next, we also must trust Christ to take care of us, okay? And thank God we can trust Christ to take care of us. In verse 21, we see that we can trust Jesus because He came to save us, okay? There the angel told Joseph the most important news the world will ever hear. He said, "She will give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus, because He will save His people from their sins." Jesus is the Greek form of a familiar Jewish name, which was Joshua. Okay? It literally means Jehovah is salvation, right? And Jesus' very name highlights the most important mission of His life: to save us from our sins and reconcile us to a holy God. The angel listed only one task at the top of Jesus' job description: to save His people from their sins. Jesus was the only baby in history to be born just to die. Across His manger fell the shadow of a cross. But why did he have to die? A big part of the answer can be seen in this little, in a letter a little girl wrote to Santa. And again, this is not a Christmas, it's just works. I can relate to what she said. It's up here on the screen. Maybe. Anyways, it says, "Dear Santa, I tried to be good this year, but it just didn't work. And you know what? It never will. We will never be good enough to compare ourselves to Christ. No matter how hard we try, we just can't be good enough. That's because, you know what? We're all born with a terrible spiritual disease, church. It's a disease called sin, and it is so deadly. Sin is the worst virus, and it infects 100% of humanity. The symptoms of the disease are everywhere. Drug and alcohol addiction, child neglect, lying, stealing, family frictions, selfishness, and even murder. Unless the sin virus is cured, it will increasingly wreck our lives in this world and put us in hell forever. But the good news is that there is a cure, and it's been found for our sin virus. God sent it through his son, born as a baby in a Bethlehem manger. But what is the cost for this cure? God's son leaving heaven to live in our fallen world? God's son dying on the cross to take our suffering and death? Then rising again to give us eternal life? That's what it cost. So how do we get it if we haven't received it already? Well, first off, you have to turn to God in faith, okay? We have to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. We have to put our trust in Him, and we have to receive Him as our Lord and Savior, church. Sometimes we have to do that daily. When we wake up, we're not where we need to be. We need to lay everything back at His feet. We need to continue to put our trust in Him. That was a big thing we talked about at camp this year. Continuing to repent of those sins. Continuing to trust God each and every single day. For some of you, it needs to be every hour. I don't know. We have to do it. So, we can also trust Jesus because He came to stay with us, okay? We see this truth in verse 22 through 23, and let's read that again. It says, "This all happened so that what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet would be fulfilled. Look, the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will name him Emmanuel, which means God with us." Church, the only way that God could fulfill, could fully be Emmanuel, God with us, was to become one of us. He had to become one of us, and you know what? That is what Jesus exactly did. He became a man. He humbled himself and became a man. Hebrews 2:14 explains it this way. "Therefore, since the children share in flesh and blood, he likewise shared in their humanity, so that through death he could destroy the one who holds the power of death, that is the devil." And in Hebrews 2:17 it continues on by saying, "Therefore he had to be made like his brothers and sisters in every respect, so that he could become a merciful and faithful high priest in things relating to God, to make atonement for the sins of the people." Church, Jesus was like us, okay? He experienced loneliness. He experienced illness and anger. He laughed. He played. He swam. He caught fish, built tables, and he attended parties, many parties. In Matthew 4:1, it says that Jesus was tempted by the devil. In Matthew 4:2, he was hungry. Mark 6:3 tells us that Jesus was a carpenter. In John 4:6-7, Jesus was weary and thirsty. And in John 11:35, Jesus wept with sympathy for his friends. This is just some of it, guys. Jesus was and is Emmanuel, God with us. God the Son humbled himself to become like us in all ways but one. The perfect Son of God, you know what? He never sinned even once in thought or word or deed. Hebrews 4:15 says, "For we do not have a high priest incapable of sympathizing with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in every way just as we are, yet without sin." Church, we should be praising for this verse. Jesus went through it. He went through our sin. He went through our issue, whatever it is. He was tempted. He was tried. He overcame sin. Gives us the ability to look at what we can strive to do. So the only man who never sinned died on the cross to take the punishment for our sins, right? Now by his Holy Spirit, the risen Christ is Emmanuel, the God who came to be with us and to stay with us. That's why in Matthew 28:20, Jesus said, "And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age." What a difference that makes, church. Joseph trusted God to make him through, to take him through his troubles. You know what? We can do the same thing. We can trust God. Most of all, we can trust Jesus to save us from our sins so we can put our trust in him. And we can keep trusting Jesus even when we're going through a crisis. But wait, church, there's one more. And that's, we also need to do what God wants us to do, okay? We can do all of this, and then if we just ignore what God wants us to do, what's the point? We're created to serve him, right? We also need to do what God wants us to do. Again, Joseph is a great example of this in verse 24 through 25. Let's read that. "When Joseph awoke from sleep, he did what the angel of the Lord told him. He took his wife, but did not have marital relations with her until she gave birth to a son, whom he named Jesus." Joseph was totally committed to do everything God asked him to do. He obeyed God. He took great care of Mary and little Jesus, right? Where would Mary and Jesus have been without Joseph? He stood in the gap to provide for them and to protect them. Let's think about the trip to Bethlehem that they had to make just before Jesus was born, right? They had to go because the Roman census called for it. They also had to go because God had prophesied that his son would be born in Bethlehem. Well, you know what? Mary was very pregnant when they made that 70-mile journey to Bethlehem, okay? They were on foot. Probably Mary may have been riding on a donkey, who knows? I mean, they weren't taking the bus, of course. So my question is, how do you get a very pregnant woman 70 miles on foot or on donkey? Or really, how do you get them anywhere, right? No offense, ladies. The answer is very carefully. When you're very far into the pregnancy, your doctor asks you not to really do much. Stay close to home, I mean, because you never know, right? But Joseph safely got married to Bethlehem, okay? Then he safely got Mary and Jesus to Egypt when Herod tried to kill the baby king, right? That was a journey of at least 90 miles, so it was even longer. Joseph also provided love and guidance during the early years of the Lord's life very well. I mean, we don't see it very much, but we just assume he did. We do see in Luke 2 that he made sure that Jesus was circumcised. And he took baby Jesus to the temple to obey the law of redemption. Later, Joseph took Jesus to synagogue, probably every week. Okay. The family also took the Lord to Jerusalem for the important feast every year. Okay. The last time we see Joseph in the Bible was when the family had gone up to Jerusalem for Passover, right? Joseph took the best possible care of his family as he could, okay? Which all started with a crisis, church. Here in verse 24, Joseph did what God wanted him to do. And you know what? The whole world changed because of it. He did what God told him to do, even in a crisis. And that is surely what God wants us to do, church. I'm going to invite Mel up this morning. As we get ready to close this morning, we're always going to have a crisis in our life, okay? We're always going to have something that we have to face that we probably would rather not face it, okay? It's so much nicer just to live in the comfortable realm, right? But we can't always stay there. So what should we do? Well, we should live like Joseph, church. We should keep pursuing God's plan for our life. We should keep growing in God's goodness. We should trust God to guide us forward, and we should trust Christ to take care of us. And we should do what God wants us to do. This morning I want to close with a song. But first I want to share a scripture reference for us. It's 1 Timothy 1:17, I believe. As I try to get there. There we go. 1 Timothy 1:17 says, "Now to the eternal King, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen."